This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Most counties in North Carolina have only one school district, but Halifax County has three, and the UN Center for Civil Rights says they are not equal. Two of the county's districts have almost no white students, while one has a white population of more than 70%. Now, this is in a county with less than 40% white population. The districts are small, and the Center for Civil Rights says they should be unified. Joining us now to talk about what's happening in Halifax County is Raleigh Bureau Chief and Education Reporter Dave DeWitt. Dave, welcome.
Hi, Frank.
How did Halifax County end up with three school districts?
Well, really, as sort of everything having to do with schools in North Carolina does, it goes back to desegregation. And, of course, in 1954, Brown versus Board of Education, Supreme Court case, and as most people know, it wasn't the next day that suddenly schools across the South were integrated. It took a long time, and all locations, locales in this state fought it on some level and figured out some way to continue to have segregated schools. You know, the state of North Carolina had something called the Pearsall Plan, which gave all parents an opportunity, a voucher to go to private school. Now, there weren't a lot of black families who were allowed to have the Pearsall Plan voucher. It was white families going to, you know, the small Christian private schools that popped up during that time. So what happened is in Halifax County, they held on to smaller school districts, three of them. And, you know, integration happened in different places. You know, here in Durham, North Carolina, they didn't integrate the public schools here until 2000. So it wasn't like Durham City and the, you know, the Durham County schools. So in Halifax, they held on to three different school districts. There's the Weldon City Schools, the Roanoke Rapids Graded Schools, and Halifax. And then actually in the 1960s, they tried to start two more in the Halifax district, which was largely African-American. And they went to the Supreme Court because basically they cordoned it off in such a way that the white kids in Halifax County would be going to these two smaller school districts, Scotland Neck and Littleton Lake Gaston. That went all the way to the Supreme Court in 1972, and those districts were ruled unconstitutional. So they went back then to just three school districts. But as you mentioned, those three school districts are very racially isolated.
Give us the demographics in these three districts.
Well, the county, it's important to note, the county is 39% white. So this is a majority-minority county. The Roanoke Rapids School District, and we should say that this is along I-95 right at the Virginia border. Sort of Roanoke Rapids has been in the news in the last, you know, 10 years or so because Randy Parton tried to start a theater there, if you remember that,
right.
That sort of boondoggle. So Roanoke Rapids is largely a white school district in largely sort of the white downtown area of Roanoke Rapids. Roanoke Rapids is a city that was a big textile location. Norma Rae, that whole story, the movie, that was based there in Roanoke Rapids where that occurred. So, and textile was largely a sort of, you know, a lot of whites worked in the textile industry. So Roanoke Rapids is largely white, 70% or so. The other two school districts are, 98% African-American and Hispanic. And even more so, sort of damning about that is that 95% of the students in, say, Weldon receive free and reduced price lunch. 90% in Halifax County. That number is 52% in Roanoke Rapids. So it also points to the fact that this is a very impoverished part of the state, maybe the most impoverished part of the state. But the way that they've cordoned off these three school districts, clearly Roanoke Rapids, and Roanoke Rapids actually has a supplemental tax, too, that they pay their teachers, so the teachers make a little bit more in that school district.
How have they been able to do this for so long and not be forced to change? We know that Charlotte schools, for instance, were under court order. Didn't Halifax escape this in some way?
Well, I think being Halifax County and being somewhat removed from the centers of industry in this state gets it out of people's minds a lot. You know, the UNC Center for Civil Rights has called attention to this with a large report. But before this, and a lot of people knew that this was occurring in Halifax, and they'd known for years. But nobody really wants to, you know, put a lot of emphasis on, there's a lot of things to fix in education in North Carolina, and this was sort of one of those things that was always in the backs of people's minds. And the other thought is that this isn't a problem. You know, there are plenty of folks, especially there in Halifax County, who don't think this is an issue. This is a problem. And if you equate it to what's happened in other parts of the country, the northeastern United States, you have small suburban white school districts that surround urban black districts that are largely failing, and those situations occur everywhere. The fact that it's happening in rural North Carolina is something that hasn't gotten a lot of attention.
Well, it's happening all over North Carolina. If you look around, there are segregated, de facto segregated schools all over the state of North Carolina, including Durham County and in Orange County, I suppose. I don't know.
That's right. And what's fascinating about it is it's all sort of, they're all got to this point in different ways. You point to Wayne County, which is also a rural county in North Carolina. They've created what they call sort of a donut hole, where Goldsboro High School serves African-American students, and all the other high schools around it are much more integrated and have a higher percentage of white students than Goldsboro or the county does. So, you know, that's one way, and they're under, you know, right now they're under federal investigation for that. You look at something like Wake County, the largest school district in the state. We've been talking for 2 years now about they had a progressive policy to assign students based on income. They did away with that policy, and this fall, a school district that will have almost 90% free and reduced price lunch students will open for the first time in Wake County, a real sort of school that's set up to have majority poverty students in that school is going to open. Charlotte Mecklenburg is another fascinating study. You know, the Swan versus Charlotte Mecklenburg School Supreme Court case that essentially allowed busing to be used to integrate a school system. That was, you know, 1970s. That was a big case. By, you know, 30 years later, a federal court decided that Charlotte Mecklenburg was fully integrated, didn't need to have their plans anymore, you know, overseen by the federal government. Well, now we've seen what's happened. That school district is now almost completely as racially isolated as it was in 1971. So you see this happening in different ways all around the state.
What does the UNC Center for Civil Rights report say? What are the conclusions they draw?
Well, it looks at a lot of these demographic issues. It looks at student performance, and we should say that student performance in Halifax School District in particular is really low and really just, you know, a terrible situation there. In fact, the state in 2009, the State Department of Public Instruction essentially took over the school district. They give a lot of now tutoring and reading and all kinds of supplemental stuff to try to get those schools turned around. The two of the worst high schools in the state are there in Halifax. So, you know, these things have occurred. We see that in that county, there is a very much a have versus have not educational system going on. And really what the UNC Center for Civil Rights has done is call attention to that and then to make the first sort of big push to get those three school systems integrated into one. That's going to be a long, lengthy process that would go through a court system because the entrenched establishment there will fight it.
Well, and is there a lawsuit or is that what it would take?
That's what it would take. And there isn't one as far as I know. The UNC Center for Civil Rights has not brought any kind of lawsuit. And we should say they are involved in a lot of these other cases in Wayne County and Wake County. And they've been involved with Charlotte Mecklenburg. They've worked very closely with the NAACP. So they come at it from a very distinctive standpoint, as you would expect. Their name says UNC Center for Civil Rights. So you know, they haven't brought a lawsuit. There haven't been anything formal that's been done. There hasn't, as far as I know, been a complaint lodged with the federal government, as there has been in Wake and Wayne counties. But that essentially would be the next step.
Let's take a look at some other education topics around the state. A lot of things happening. In Wake County, they're considering redistricting board seats in a public hearing on that subject tonight in Raleigh. Bring us up to date on that.
Well, they're redistricting, just like the state is redistricting all political seats, so does the Wake County School Board and all the school boards in the state. There are 9 school board seats in Wake County, and they're redistricting all of them. They've developed a plan. They've put that plan online, and tonight's the first opportunity for citizens to give their public input. What's interesting about it is it hasn't been nearly as contentious as everything else the school board has done in the past 2 years. Now, that doesn't mean there hasn't been some fights, and there will be some fights moving forward. Because what's happened in Raleigh, and we've discussed this before, is that a very much inside the Beltline versus outside the Beltline situation. And as the population grows dramatically outside the Beltline, it's going to change these districts. And it's important because you vote for the school board member in your district. You don't vote versus the school board member in any other district. So how these things are drawn are pretty important. And what you're seeing is that these sort of inside the Beltline, which are largely Democratic and largely, for the sake of the big issue, pro-diversity policy, they are starting to broaden out a little bit because they have to increase in population to right around 101,000 or so to get to some of these suburban areas, which means a little more conservative, a little more Republican, typical voter is going to be in some of these districts. There aren't major changes. It's not like they've eliminated one of these seats and created one in a different place, which you're going to see in some other redistricting issues as they pop up. But it is contentious enough that you're going to see sort of the same sides align against one another as this process moves forward. It'll move forward a lot quicker because they've got a vote coming this fall.
Finally, let's talk about the budget. The current version in the General Assembly cuts education fairly significantly. What's that going to do to teacher jobs around the state?
Well, there's a lot of discussion about how many teachers are going to lose their job or how many educators or staff personnel and all that. And the number that the North Carolina Association of Educators puts out is 18,000. Republican leadership in the General Assembly says it's not going to be anywhere near that. But the one thing that's important, there will be thousands of jobs lost. And in Wake County alone, we're looking at 1,000 jobs lost. Now, that will be everything from teachers to teacher assistants, clerical workers, janitors, assistant principals, and essentially these programs that work with at-risk kids, academically gifted kids. If you're not a teacher in the classroom, you're very nervous right now. And even teachers in the classroom are going to be nervous. But what's also interesting is the General Assembly is now starting to tweak with some other things. The autonomy or the supervisory role of the Department of Public Instruction, for example, and the ability for local school boards to make the decisions on how many and how what types of educators they lay off. You know, the Republican leadership has stated that they are all for local control. Let the local groups make that decision. But now they've put something in the budget that says, well, we have to have some uniform. We're going to tell you how many you can lay off and who you can lay off. And so that will have to go through the Senate now to see if that stays in there. But a lot of jobs will be lost. There's just no way around that unless, yeah, and a lot of Democrats, progressives want to continue the sales tax, the one penny sales tax that would save a lot of these teacher jobs. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere, though.
Dave, thanks for bringing us up to date.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, WUNC Raleigh Bureau Chief and Education Reporter. Just ahead, we're going to take a look at innovators of the future, student entrepreneurs on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.